Can I beatbox aside? And
yeah. Crespo needs soap. It's the cinema of the Crespo needs soap. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? 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 And we're out. Okay. Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso. This is episode 6. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic extraordinaire, writer, all-around good guy. I'm here with my co-host, number 2 man, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, Chris?
What's up, dude? How's life been treating you?
Life's been treating me okay. It's been a fun week. I'm in the middle of a 4-day weekend, which is awesome.
4-day weekends are awesome. Yes, they are. On a President's Day weekend, I believe.
No, exactly. And it's not just a 4-day weekend. It's actually on like a weekend, too, which is almost unheard of in my business.
Wild. Wild stuff.
Yeah.
We're not going to say what your business is.
No.
We'll keep it up to people's imaginations.
Exactly.
He's a gay porn actor. And guest this week, guesting with us. So happy to have him. Friend from out of town. But he's in town for a thing.
Hang out. He's almost our third roommate.
Almost our third. Well, when he's in town, he's our third roommate. It's pretty sweet. Known this guy for a long time. Respect his opinion. It's fun talking to him. We're going to have some fun. It's Johnny the Hater. Johnny, how's it going, buddy?
Hey.
Hey, dude.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How do you like our setup here?
Excellent.
It's pretty ridiculous, right?
It's good.
It's almost like
there's a lot of wires.
It's almost like we're a professional. There are a lot of wires. Watch any liquids.
Semi-pro.
Like
a step above amateur.
First movie reference of the show goes to Drew for semi-pro.
All right.
Will Ferrell. Good job.
Keeping score this round.
I count that movie as when Will Ferrell started his downward spiral.
Ah, you see, you already have a trajectory for
That's
Will Ferrell.
That's where I drew the line.
Hating already.
Mm-hmm. Did
he was spread too thin.
Kicking and Screaming, that soccer movie. Did that come before or after semi-pro?
Oh, that was terrible as well.
That's awful.
But that was for kids, so I was okay with that.
I guess it's for kids.
Know?
Yeah.
Semi-pro should have been funnier.
It could have
had
been
a lot of star power.
You know, it's all about the ABA and like their merger with the NBA, but like their own made up story about ABA teams. They could have told a real story of the ABA. That story is even crazier than the movie they made. You know,
it's just that they didn't have a script. I felt like they thought Will Ferrell could improvise a whole film.
Woody Harrelson.
And it just didn't seem like there was any script.
Yeah.
No one wrote any jokes. You guys got to write some jokes.
Well, doesn't he do something with a bear? Doesn't he fight a bear at one point? Or
yeah, but that's not a joke. That's not like a joke.
It's a conceptual joke.
It's like parentheses.
Well, it's
we need to get hire the bear trainer.
Yeah, it's one line in a.
That bear actually killed a man in real life.
Awesome.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Is that you mean? That's the bear
the
from Grizzly
bear
Man.
The same bear that Will Ferrell wrestles in Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
Killed someone in real life.
Like recently, after Semi-Pro.
Yeah, obviously.
All right.
He didn't get much work after that. The bear
was that on a set of a movie?
No.
Oh, so it was just randomly killed someone.
I don't know how random it is when bears kill people.
When it's an actor bear that's with people all the time, and like it wrestles Will Ferrell. How come it didn't eat Will Ferrell? I know some people personally that would have loved if that bear had eaten Will Ferrell.
Maybe Will Ferrell doesn't taste very good.
He doesn't look like he looks. He doesn't look. Looks kind of gamey.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, right? Would you agree, Johnny?
Yeah.
He looks really fatty, though. I bet you he's got some good marbling.
Maybe good. He has that weird stomach.
Thinking of Will Ferrell takes my appetite away. Actually. It doesn't make me hungry in the least.
All right, fair enough. Well, we can move on from there then. All right. Well, let's get into the show. Real quick, Johnny. Here's what we do. We usually talk about the new movies coming out. Well, first we do the box office review. And we talk about how much money everything made, and we review some movies. Then we talk about the new movies coming out before we go into the Crespo Dome at the end. I hope you're ready for the Crespo Dome, buddy.
It gets crazy in there, dude.
It gets pretty wild.
Okay, so it was a Hollywood stunt bear, and it kills its trainer.
Oh, the
nice.
Trainer. the hand that fed it.
Yeah, people always strike out against the ones they love the most.
Good job. Good job. All right, but before we do all that, we're going to do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go. I got my Netflix picks right here.
The Crespo Disa Randomizer 9000.
The Crespo Disa Randomizer 9000. Johnny, will you do us the honors, please, and pick this week's Netflix Pick of the Week? Here we go. Searching.
I hope it's a good one, Chris.
So do I. They're all good ones. What are you talking about? What is it?
Oh, it's Beautiful, the Javier Bardem.
Oh, Beautiful. Yeah.
That's out. The one.
That is one with Javier Bardem because it's spelled in Spanish BIUTIFUL. I think that's right. I really like this movie. It's kind of a hard watch because he plays a dude who's dying of cancer, and it's like the last couple months of his life, and like he waited too long.
Sorry, I don't know why I laughed at that
because it's a hard sell, dude. Hey, you want to sit down and watch a movie about a guy dying of cancer and leaving behind your children?
Is it the same director as Amores Perros?
Is it? No, it's the same. Yeah, the Amores Perros and Babel.
All those movies make me want to cry.
They're all pretty depressing movies. 21 Grams. Yeah. He makes heavy movies.
Why?
But this is the first one he made that isn't about a whole bunch of different stories like cross-cutting together because there's a different writer. There's one guy who wrote all those movies, and then this guy directed it, and this one is the first movie he did where that other guy didn't write everything. It's intense, and then it gets weird, too, because also he kind of sees, he can communicate with the dead. Not the dead, but the recently dead. Like, if someone died recently, like, if you have a funeral, someone dies, like, oh, no, I got one last thing. I got to ask him, like, where he buried the treasure. Yeah, where he buried the treasure, because he forgot to tell me before he died. You can hire him. He shows up, and then he sits down, like, next to the body, and he can kind of communicate with the spirit, and it's a little creepy. It's a little weird. It's good, though.
A little weird?
Bardem.
That's a lot weird,
was
dude.
Nominated for Best Actor Academy Award for his performance in this movie. First ever someone was nominated for a non-English performance for Best Actor.
Very nice.
So his acting transcends language. Because the movie is in Spanish.
He is pretty intense.
He's an intense actor, and he's really good. He's pretty amazing. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, so you can't hate or recommend or back me up on that?
I know I'll hate it.
Well, what do you think?
It's 2 hours and 28 minutes long, and it's very sad.
Do you not like the other guy's movies?
No, I couldn't. I don't. I just.
No.
It's too much.
Babel? No.
Babel made me very sad.
Kate Blanchett gets shot. Brad Pitt cries over the phone with his kids.
Babel's a hard watch, too.
It is. All of his movies are like.
Yeah, I don't want to subject myself to that.
Well, it's not subjecting yourself. It's like. It's like you're eating your vegetables.
But what if you don't like your vegetables?
Well, sometimes you got to eat your stinking vegetables, all right? It can't all be burgers and cheeseburgers and Michael Bay movies. You gotta throw down on some.
Hey, man, I don't like Michael Bay movies.
Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, or whatever his name is.
How about Bardem as that Bond villain? Excellent.
Yeah. How Bardem as any villain is excellent.
Yeah, but I thought. He brought Bond villains back, you know.
Although in the grand scheme, I mean, he could have been. He's just a hacker who just has some like mommy issues with M. It's not like a Blofeld level where he wants to take over the world, you know. Spectre. That's what the next movie needs. Some sort of Spectre type.
Grander plans.
Yes, huge plans to take over the world. Like some just over the top, huge laser rays.
Yeah, I felt like once M. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Once M was dead, he didn't have anything left to live for.
Yeah. Because it wasn't much. There could have been more, though. All right, well, that's your Netflix Pick of the Week. Beautiful, starring Javier Bardem. It's a good movie. It is a kind of a hard watch, but it's good stuff, and he's pretty amazing. So let's get into the box office of the weekend. Drew, what do you got there? You got the number six movie?
All right, yeah. The number six movie this week is Beautiful Creatures, which grossed $7.5 million for, I guess, a total gross of 10 point nothing.
$10 million. Yeah,
$10 million
number
total.
Number six?
Number six.
Number six.
Because it's a brand new movie. That one came out on Valentine's Day.
I thought that movie would have made more.
It's a bit of a, it's a little bit of a flop.
It looks like Twilight Part
with witches. I know, with witches. Twilight with witches. I figured it would have been the next hot thing. Apparently, the young ladies disagree with us.
Maybe they're Twilighted out.
Maybe they are. They're all grown up. All those Twilight chicks, now they're all in their 20s. They don't want to watch them.
They were already in their 20s.
A lot of them were. A budget of $60 million and making $10 million opening weekend with Valentine's Day? Yeah, it's not good.
No, not at all. That thing's going to flop hard.
Isn't Jeremy Irons in that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's sad.
And it, who's the older lady who's in it?
Don't know.
What the F is her name?
Helen Mirren. Helen Burstein.
Nanny McPhee?
Yes.
Frances McDormand?
It's Nanny McPhee.
It was her. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Is that Frances McDormand?
No.
Nanny McPhee?
Yeah. the lady who played Nanny McPhee, what's her name? I don't remember.
I'll tell you in one second.
Yeah, you go. You got computers in front of you.
Emma Thompson. Fast. There we go.
Emma Thompson. She's Nanny McPhee. What am I thinking of with Frances McDormand? She's like all ugly or something with a lot of makeup. No,
I don't know.
Hey, so what did you think of Beautiful Creatures, Drew?
I didn't see it.
Oh, that's right. We didn't see it. Johnny, did you see it?
I no.
Moving on.
All right. Number five movie this week was Warm Bodies, which made another $9 million for a grand total of 50.2.
On a $30 million budget. That's not bad.
Cha-ching.
On how many weeks now? Is that 3 weeks?
Only 3 weeks.
So 3 weeks in, more people wanted to see that movie, Valentine's Day weekend, than Beautiful Creatures.
Yeah.
Because that's also a love story.
So apparently zombies.
They're both love stories about a girl falling in love with an undead person. Well, no, witches aren't undead.
Well, no, because
a supernatural love story.
From what I've seen from the trailers, Beautiful Creatures, it's the witch who falls in love. She has
to decide whether she's going to be a good witch or a bad witch.
Yeah, but she falls in love with a regular dude, opposed to the dude being a zombie and the chick being live.
Maybe he turns out to be like a Frankenstein. A sexy Frankenstein.
Sexy Frankenstein.
Zombies are so hot right now.
I'm over them.
We figured that the witches would be next, and then after that, obviously, sexy Frankenstein.
Yeah. Witches and then sexy Frankenstein. Because zombies is one thing. That's after Walking Dead, that's done.
Yeah.
And vampires are done.
Yeah, they're done.
They're on the ways
it's over.
Now it's witches.
Werewolves, too.
No.
Werewolves. Are
zombies are never done. That's what zombies do. They just don't stop.
They go away and they come back. Like, zombies were big in the 60s, 50s, and 60s. The Walking Dead zombies were like weird zombies. And then in the 80s, it was really big. And not so big in the 90s. And then big in the aughts.
Yep.
Now
and
huge.
Still, yeah.
Now ridiculous. But they're going to ebbs and flows, man. And then new things become fatty, popular, you know, trendy, right?
Frankenstein's.
Sexy Frankenstein.
Sexy Frankenstein.
That's after the witches.
Coming up next.
Because you got to sell them to the ladies.
Yep.
Right, did you see Warm Bodies, Johnny?
No.
Number four movie of
number
the week.
Number four movie of the week, Escape from Planet Earth, which grossed $16 million.
On a budget
of 40.
$40 million, that's really cheap for an animated movie.
Yeah.
Really cheap. But $16 million, still not so hot.
Well, I mean, it's the only kiddie-safe movie out these days.
That's true. That is true. It's the only family movie out there. You'd think maybe they would have made just a little bit more money.
Well, I would have thought maybe I would have seen a commercial for it.
Right, well, that's a part of being a low-budget animated movie. You don't have much money for marketing either.
No.
Escape from Planet Earth, for a while, that was a rumored title of the next Snake Plissken John Carpenter movie.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
I was wishing you would go there. Please, God.
Let's use this time to talk about John Carpenter. Escape from New York, awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome, early 80s. Escape from L.A., early 90s.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi's always good. And then for a while, the talk was the next movie was going to be Escape from Planet Earth, where, like, I guess the whole Earth is a prison. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, at the end of Escape from L.A., he pretty much puts the Earth back in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, they could get their way out of that, though.
Yeah, they could turn it back on.
Yeah, there's... They just hit the reset
button.
Call the
guys, you know?
They got the technicians on
just
it.
Just call them in.
It takes some time, but they can get it
write
going.
Some overtime checks.
Johnny, what's your favorite John Carpenter movie?
Okay, it's really... I have to name two because I cannot choose between them.
Let's name them.
It would be The Thing and then Big Trouble in Little China.
Love those movies.
Great movies.
Kurt Russell movies.
Yeah, both of them.
You know, I mean, I guess I could watch Big Trouble more times because it's like light.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a more fun movie to watch. The Thing is a little more, I guess you can say, dour. little heavier.
I mean, if I see it on TV, I can't pass it up.
Well, I make it a point to try to watch it around every Halloween, every October. It's my go-to
horror
Halloween
flick.
Horror flick. What
that remake was
god awful,
a stinking piece.
Wow, let's talk about something you hate now. Yeah, the Thing prequel. That
really
that movie,
bad.
That movie ticked me off, man.
I knew it would be bad though. So
well, we all knew it would be bad, but we kind of hoped that it wouldn't.
Right, gave it a shot. Right. I gave it a shot.
I watched it on cable, I think.
Did you?
I caught it on the red box.
I went to the theater. I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. I'm going to see. I mean, because The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing is a remake, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
So why not remake your remake?
Because the remakes now, not one of them are good.
That's true.
Maybe the first Texas Chainsaw remake with Jessica Biel.
I don't think so.
I don't know. That was pretty good.
I won't give that a maybe.
Nah.
Michael Bay.
Not a fan.
Maybe it was just
Michael
Jessica
Bay produced
Biel
it.
And the cowboy hat was, and the jeans. And the
yeah, I think you were just seduced by Jessica Biel.
I mentioned this before. The remake of Ringu. That's the last. Well, I don't know if that's the last remake, but that's The Departed. That's a remake.
Yeah.
But those aren't that's remakes of American movies. It's like a transitioning from like a different culture's
okay,
movies.
All
right. I think that's a little different, right?
Yeah, that's different. So what's the last remake of an older film, an update that's like, hey, the Dawn of the Dead remake I like a lot.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Running Zombies.
But that was like 2003?
Mm-hmm.
That was a while ago. There's gotta be something since then. Nothing.
Can't wait for that.
Speaking of John Carpenter and remakes, like every one of his films that have been remade have been stinkers.
Oh, yeah.
Assault from Precinct 13 is the closest to being okay just because of the amount of people that get shot in the face.
Yep, which is always fun.
I did not see either.
You didn't see either assaults?
Really violent.
Yeah.
I did.
First one's crazy. A little girl gets shot in it by a street gang in the beginning. That's what gets the plot going. It's made a big ruckus at the time when that came out in the 70s. People were like, whoa, you can't be shooting children. And John Carpenter's like, hey, man, I'm just a pothead.
Okay.
That's pretty much. Yeah.
And that's what he did. And it's all right. It's Assault from Precinct 13.
What about Ghosts on Mars?
Horrible Ooh. Film.
Terrible. With Ice
what?
Cube, right?
Yeah. I love that movie.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No.
Of course.
Jeez. Moving on, Drew.
What's all next? Right. Moving on. The number three movie this week, Safe Haven, which made $21.4 million on a budget of $30.3 million. No, sorry. A total of 30.3. Where did it make this extra money?
The budget, 28 million?
Yeah, budget 28.
So that's not bad.
Well,
opening weekend to pretty much
already made profit.
Matched the budget.
No.
I guess that's okay. That's
the movie's going to make a bunch of money, dude.
It's
for the ladies. The ladies love it.
This seems to be the romantic film that the ladies chose. They didn't want to go with romance and witches or romance with zombies.
Nope.
They wanted romance with Josh Duhamel.
Yes.
Mr. Duhamel.
With Mr. Generic White Guy.
Johnny, what's your favorite Josh Duhamel film?
I don't think I have one.
What's your second favorite?
Any movie he's not in, that guy's awful.
I don't know. Transformers wasn't bad.
Transformers?
Oh, he's in that. He's the army guy.
Yeah, he was random. He was generic white guy.
Fine. Transformers 1.
All right.
Yeah.
My favorite Josh Duhamel movie.
Duhamel.
He's a jerk. He cheated on Fergie.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I don't like that.
What a jerk.
Yeah. What a jerk.
How can you cheat on Fergie?
Because she's pretty not easily. That attractive.
And because he's Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, I mean, just date someone else.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I say.
Embarrass Fergie like that.
Or embarrass Fergie. Why would you embarrass Fergie?
I wouldn't do either of those things.
All right. None of us have seen Safe Haven. So
no, hell no.
So let's just move on.
All right. Number two movie this week was Identity Thief, which made an additional $23.5 million. For a grand total of 70.8 on a budget of 35.
I guess maybe that made for a decent date movie over Valentine's Day weekend because it's a comedy. It's an R-rated comedy, so a little raunchy, a little crazy, you know?
What movie?
Well, you saw it.
I saw it.
Identity Thief?
Yeah. It's the first R-rated comedy of the year. Rex Reed panned it.
He did not like it, I heard.
He called Melissa McCarthy a hippopotamus throughout his review.
Well, she kind of looks like one, not going to lie.
Well, you know, don't get it.
But if the movie is bad, what does it have to do with that?
Yeah, that's just him being a mean old bugger.
Yeah, he was like, arr.
But he's a crazy old man. He's been around forever. He's got to be in his 80s by now, 70s, 80s. He's, I don't know. He's been around the game a little too long.
Who was the critic that always used the same, like, letters to start? He'd be like, bunnies bite Breslin. Breslin.
You use alliteration in all his headlines? I don't know.
It's off topic.
No, we're all about going off topic here. Identity Thief is an okay movie. You know, it's nothing great. It's got some laughs. The critics are absolutely hating it, though, which, I don't know. I think they're being a little hard on it, to be honest. Let's just get into the number one movie.
All right, number one movie of the week, A Good Day to Die Hard, which had a weekend gross of $25 million for a total gross of $33.3 on a budget of $92.
Worst movie ever.
What a stinking pile of feces that was.
Yeah, the more I think about
it, the more I think about it, the more I'm angry that I'm never going to get that hour and a half back from my life.
Yeah, it's
It's one of those. Like, I'm angry that I paid for it, but I'm also angry that it stole that time away from me.
Well, all right. What did you like, Drew? Drew, what did you like? I'm going to take this tact. What did you like the most about it? We're going positive
all right,
today.
Because
we got Johnny
okay,
the hater.
I liked the fact that I like the way the guy died at the end. That was pretty cool.
The guy died. That's not that spoiler because you just said the guy. Well, you can say how he died. There's someone that dies with by helicopter blade.
Yeah, the dude dies by helicopter blade.
Someone dies by helicopter blade.
That's pretty fun. I like it when people turn into just red goo.
There's a few action-y parts. I'd say for me personally, there were about around like 90 seconds worth of good action.
Maybe.
The 123 car crash
was not as fantastic as everyone claimed it to be.
The problem with the car chase scene in that movie, Johnny, all shaky cam. It's all postmodern action, shaky cam. Mm. Let's do hyper editing. Even when we show John McClane driving in the car, the camera has to be zooming back and forth and
that
shaking.
That makes my vertigo kick up.
Yeah, and it makes my Agent Orange start acting up.
Yeah, it makes my inner ear issues.
Yeah. Right.
My, you know, it
looks awful. I don't know why they can't just show action instead of trying to simulate action. Like, the cameras are moving. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the only shaky cam that I could get down with is a little Tony Scott RIP dog.
Tony Scott, yeah. He got a little shaky with it.
Yeah, Unstoppable.
Well, with him was
zoom
more
in, zoom
it was
out,
more
pan
about
around.
With him was more about the editing, very fast editing.
Yeah,
you know, some avid farts. No, Die Hard. A Good Day to Die Hard is not good.
So bad.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's awful.
Yeah, but it doesn't even have. I was hoping for some redeeming stuff.
No, I mean, there's no plot. I mean, there's no plot. It's three action sequences loosely tied together by the fact that John McClane and his son are there.
And then his son are there, Jack McClane.
That's about it.
John McClane Jr.
John Jr.
Did it come
which makes him a senior. Har, har, har.
Hardy. Hardy hair. What were you gonna say, Johnny?
Nothing.
Nothing. No. Well, you guys, this is a talk show. You gotta say something.
You gotta say,
Johnny. What's your least favorite Die Hard movie that you've seen? Because I know you haven't seen this one.
The one with the Mac.
Rank the Die Hard movies in order of hatred to least hatred.
I hate the newest one the most.
Without seeing it.
Yeah, I know, because it's just
it's really bad.
Yeah.
They made me watch that commercial 100 times, maybe 200 times.
You know what?
Like,
the commercials.
Welcome to Moscow.
The commercials and trailers are cut better than the movie itself.
Oh, I would rather watch the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation.
Okay, second most hated Die Hard movie.
The one with Mac
yeah.
and Sheriff Bullock as the villain.
Sheriff Bullock, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Justified.
Third most hated. Third least hated. Because we're going backwards.
The second one.
The Rennie Harlan one in the airport?
Yeah, I never loved that one because he sort of gets rid of like all the bad guys in the end with one fell swoop. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh, if you haven't seen Die Hard 2.
21-year-old spoiler
alert.
And then
the one with Samuel L. Jackson. I love that one because I remember...
Oh, so now we've gone to love. Now we've gone from hate to love. Yes. All right, so now your second...
Well,
post-
yeah, dude, there's I a love fine the line first between love and hate. I love the first three. I think many people would,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
The third one's great. It's got a... Zeus. He's like, keep calling me Hey Zeus. My name's Zeus.
He's like, do I look Puerto Rican to you?
He's the god of thunder. Oh, that's good stuff.
And that obviously that means
well, the original.
That means you, like every other red-blooded American and person, every other person with eyeballs and a brain likes Die Hard the most.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first one is like a... It's not even an action film. It's just like a classic film.
Yeah. It's just a classic. Just a great movie.
It is.
This one.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah. It's a great Christmas movie. It's a great action movie. It's a great movie.
Han. Booby. Does anyone say that in this one?
No.
See?
John McClane says I'm on vacation and that's about it.
John McClane says I'm on vacation about three times. Like he's in the middle of a shit. He's like, I'm on vacation. And he throws down a gun. And then he says the yippee-ki-yay line once, but in like the most, in no context whatsoever.
Terrible way.
He just decides to say it. And it's like, there's not even anyone around to hear him say it.
It gets all day.
He says it to himself.
It gets all day after tomorrow E with the father-son BS.
Instead of making this movie, really angry. They should have made Looper and called Looper Die Hard in the Future.
Future
and
hard.
Had Bruce Willis come back and be like,
"Loop hard."
No.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna like.
But he was bald
close
though.
Close my loop.
But John McClane needs hair, and not the hair he had on Looper.
No, not at all. Not
that
bad.
That crazy long hair wig.
Shoot the glass.
There is a callback to the shooting the glass when like the McClanes got out of situation, shoot out a lot of glass. They try to do callbacks to like the previous movie instead of the first movie, and it all just comes across as so bad and cheesy. The more I thought about walking out of A Good Day to Die Hard, I was like, it's bad, but it's just forgettable, whatever. The more I've thought about the movie, the more I hate it.
Nice.
It's like this movie is
gets worse.
It's a damn shame, if you ask me.
It is
a damn shame.
It is a damn shame. You know what? That's what you get when you give it to the director of Behind Enemy Lines.
Ugh.
And whatever. This guy's made just the worst movies.
But is it so hard to make a good action movie?
Apparently,
I mean,
it is.
These days, it
why?
Is. Because I don't know. Because that's a lost art form. The days of the great 80s action movies, the heyday of the action. All right, well, hey, that's your box office review. Let's talk about the new movies coming out real quick. I got some new movies on DVD this Tuesday. We got Argo hitting DVD.
Ooh, can't wait to that hit the red box.
My mom was just on a 2.5-hour plane flight where she put on Argo on the little screen in front of her. She's like, let's see what the hell this is all about.
Fell asleep?
Glued to the movie. She said she watched it with, like, she was leaning forward the whole time. Like, you know, face, like, just a couple inches away from the screen, totally into it. It's a good movie. It's really intense. Johnny, have you seen Argo?
I loved it, Chris.
Oh, Johnny loves Argo. What did you love about it, Johnny?
Everything. Ben Affleck's beard.
He does have a pretty great 70s beard.
He's a great director. Not the greatest actor.
I love Ben Affleck. Yeah. I'm not afraid to say it.
You're, these days, because of his directorial work, you are allowed to like Ben Affleck again. It's
Reindeer Games.
He's come back around.
Reindeer Games was so awful.
I love it. A horrible film.
Love it.
Horrible, horrible film. Pretty much killed.
On par with Daredevil.
Pretty much killed John Frankenheimer. I don't know. John Frankenheimer might not be dead.
He's dead? Is he dead?
I don't know. He might not be.
Can we get information on this?
Drew, can you?
Oh, I'm working on it.
Is he the one that made Batman put nipples on the bat suit?
No, that's Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher.
Oh, I hate him.
John Frankenheimer did Ronin.
Oh, the 80-minute car chase or whatever. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense at the end.
It's a good
that movie is cool, but in it, Ned Stark looks like a doofus, you know?
Old Ned Stark.
He's still alive.
John Frankenheimer is still alive? Okay.
Oh, wait.
I like my Ned Stark to be Ned Starky, you know?
In what way?
Like how he's like Boromir.
Oh, yeah, he totally died July 6th, 2002 at the age of 72.
Rest in peace, Frankenheimer.
Or even when he's like an angry Irishman.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, and he's like, you killed my brother. Harrison Ford.
He's always dying and everything. Mr. Bean.
Oh, yeah. He pretty much dies in every movie he's in.
Speaking of the Bean, Game of Thrones Season 2 comes out on DVD this week.
Nice.
Which means we're getting ready for Game of Thrones Season 3.
313.
Johnny, how much do you hate
spoiler
season?
Spoiler alert.
How much do you hate
a
season?
A lot of people get killed.
Go figure.
No, spoiler. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. There's someone gets betrayed.
Johnny, how much do you
go
hate
figure.
Game of Thrones?
Huh?
How much do you hate Game of Thrones?
I love Game of Thrones.
Oh, he loves it. We found more things Johnny
you know
the Hater loves.
I know, seriously.
You know
it's kind
of
weird.
Game of Thrones.
I think these are loaded questions.
You know what I do hate?
It's a softball question.
Treme.
Do you really?
Yeah, man.
But do you watch it?
No.
Well, then how do you? Okay.
I know.
No one watches Treme.
I've watched enough Treme commercials to know I hate it.
Didn't it get canceled? Nice. No one. God, I didn't even know it was still on.
You know, The Wire's cool, you know, but Treme, not so much.
Also coming out on DVD, this horror film, Sinister.
But is that the one with, what's his name? What's his face?
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke. Have you seen Sinister, Johnny?
No.
Don't. It's awful.
You know what Ethan Hawke movie I love?
Before Sunset. Before Sunrise, After Sunset. One of those movies that he does.
I don't know
with
if
those Richard Linklater movies.
You're confusing me.
The one with the vampires.
The one with the vampires, Daybreakers. Hold on, wait. I want to keep playing this game. Training Day.
No.
Gattaca.
Gattaca.
No.
Whatever.
Is that the one with Uma?
Uma, yeah. Uma Thurman.
Uma.
Love Uma.
Ethan Hawke movie is true.
Go earlier in his career.
Oh, early. Old, Ooh. Young. Dead Poets Society.
No, but Carpe Diem.
Carpe Diem, yeah. get off the table, Johnny. Get down
Seriously.
Off the table. Okay.
Isn't there another line in that movie that's like really silly?
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
All right, Johnny, what's there?
There's a part of that movie where they're like at their poetry reading, and then it busts out into like they start like running in the circle like, because one guy's playing a flute, and they all just start like running.
Yeah,
because
he's like an elf or
jumping
something.
Jumping around.
Is he wearing like a green leotard?
They're like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
And then he shoots himself with his father's gun.
Spoiler
alert.
Isn't his dad Red Foreman?
Is it?
Yeah, and he's like, you'll go to Harvard.
He's like, bitches leave.
Red Foreman's totally the bad guy in RoboCop.
Ugh.
Yeah. What movie are you talking about? Ethan Hawke movie.
Oh, Explorers? When they're like kids and they get
like
that tilt-a-whirl and turn it into a spaceship and fly into space and meet aliens and stuff. It's really good.
That was back when they were making all these like kids in space movies like Space Camp and Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Love it.
Good stuff. Well, all right. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
All right. Coming out this Friday in theaters, we have Snitch starring Dwayne Johnson and Susan Sarandon.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
Snitch?
Snitch.
Watch your language. Isn't that the thing that they chase in Harry Potter?
Don't think so.
And when they played Quidditch?
From what I've heard,
they chase the golden snitch, right?
These things get stitches, apparently.
I don't know.
Yeah, snitches do.
Snitches get stitches.
Obtain surgical sewings. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, are you a fan, Johnny? Yes.
Love
no?
The Rock.
The Rock's pretty awesome. And he will always be The Rock, no matter how many movies he's just Dwayne Johnson. We saw the trailer for Fast Six, Fast and the Furious 6. Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good.
He's like, Vin Diesel, I need you to drive this car through a plane.
yeah,
I
can do it.
Seriously, I was like, wait a minute. Did they just kill a plane with a bunch of cars?
With a bunch of cars. It looks like I like how they turned it into an action version of like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. You know what looks really
good?
With
like a bunch of lesser actors.
Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain looks great.
I got to get a pump.
It's like, yeah, I know it burns. Yeah, do it. I know it hurts. Yeah.
Oh, my peas popped on that one.
Yeah, peas be popping. Peas be popping. Peas be popping. That movie looks really good. And it's Michael Bay's version of a small movie. Because he's been talking for years about how he's going to make a small little movie. And that's his version. It still looks bombastic and crazy as hell. I'm sure he'll work a car chase into there somewhere. Anything else coming out this weekend?
Also coming out this week, we have Dark Skies, starring Kerry Russell and Josh Hamilton.
That's the one where some family moves into a house and some like mysterious forces are trying to control them.
Aliens.
And then the trailer gives away at the end that it's aliens.
This trailer scares me.
Aliens.
No, it doesn't.
It's got that boy with the weird eyes.
It's got the dad who stands outside with his mouth open.
Felicity is shaky.
He's going to drown if it rains.
He's going to drown if it rains.
Felicity, don't. Shake.
Yeah. It looks, and then the alien head pops up at the end, which is like, let's just give it all away here in the trailer. It's aliens.
Well, dude, it's called Dark Skies. Come on.
Well, yeah, with that too, with the title, they could have been like Dark Skies, like maybe they're ghost of like Sonny Bono.
That always sounds racist.
Dark Skies, Sonny Bono. The ghost of Sonny Bono was coming out to kill everyone.
Kind of weird.
What's wrong with Sonny Bono, man?
Yeah, Sonny Bono's not racist. Everyone likes Sonny Bono.
I think everyone liked Cher.
Well, okay.
I never liked Sonny Bono.
Drew never liked Sonny Bono.
He fucked her back down.
All right. Well, we need to take a break. I'm pretty much out of beer here. We are drinking. What are we drinking today? Newcastle?
Newcastle Brown Ale, imported from England.
Imported from England. What are you drinking, Johnny?
Fizzy Bubbly.
Fizzy Bubbly?
It's good.
What's Fizzy Bubbly?
It's for me.
But what is Fizzy Bubbly?
It's Izzle.
Is it really called Fizzy Bubbly?
I think it's called Izzle. At least that's what it says on the bottle.
Izzy.
I bought it at Starbucks.
They sell it at your former employer.
They sell it at the crack dealers?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know Jerome is selling Izzy's now, along with crack.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell Jerome I said what's up?
2 for $10.
Izzy's. Well, I need to get a beer. You need to get some more Izzy's. Drew needs to do whatever he needs to do. What are you doing over there?
I'm peeling the adhesive off the back of my cell phone.
Can't you do that later?
Good story. We're going to step into the Crespo Disco really quick, and we're going to listen to a little bit of music. You guys, listen. I'm actually going to play two songs because they're both kind of short. I'm going to play two songs. Try to figure out what movie they're from. I'll let you know when we get back. And then we're going to go into the Crespo Dome, and we'll finish up the show from
Choose
there.
Choose your weapon wisely, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, we'll have to introduce you to the rules of the Crespo Dome during the break.
I favor the broadsword.
This guy's all about this broadsword. We have so many weapons, and he won't get off the broadsword. All right, so Crespo Disco time. Put on your pants. It's time to dance. Crespo Poem number one. We'll see you guys on the other side. We'll be right back.
I thought you were going to tell me. I thought you were going to go
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No. Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Disco. I hope you enjoyed those two songs in the Crespo Disco. If you guys couldn't tell, those two songs were from the Black Dynamite soundtrack.
Oh, very nice.
That's why it was so funky, because it was a Black Dynamite soundtrack. Are you a fan of Black Dynamite, Johnny the Hater?
The first time I saw it.
Oh, what happened?
It doesn't have a lot of replay value.
I think it does. I enjoy putting it on every now and then, and it plays in the background while I'm working my computer and stuff.
I like the part where he goes, "But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community."
Yeah, the guy from Reno 911.
I mean, it's one joke for like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah,
or
pretty
whatever.
Much, but it's a really funny joke.
Yeah, that one joke is we love 70s blaxploitation films. It's an homage to the genre. They
I love cream corn.
Cream corn is awesome.
I'm cream corn.
I'm running things.
Tommy Davidson's funny.
He's awesome. That's a great cast.
Bring him back.
The score is incredible. This dude, Adrian Young. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I don't know either.
This dude, get this cat. What he does to make sure all the music sounds like authentic 70s style, all the music, everything he recorded with, his equipment, the instruments, the soundboard, it's all analog, like 70s and
old
before.
School style.
Yeah, he found old equipment and did everything the oldest, like the old school way possible.
So that's why it sounds so old.
That's part of why it sounds so awesome. Part of why it sounds so authentic, because it does sound like real music from the time period that they dug up like Tarantino style, but it's not. It's all like original composed stuff, and those two songs are pretty awesome. So I hope you enjoyed it. Here we go. Time to get into the Crespo Dome, where anything can happen.
And anything will happen.
Anything will happen. In this case, three men enter, and we'll all leave amicably, because this is a Crespo Dome is all about coolness. I am here with Drewster Cogburn and Johnny the Hater.
Hey.
Johnny the Hater from from out of town, from South Florida.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Are you were feeling a little nervous at the start of the show, but you feeling better now about everything?
Yeah, I just needed to rehearse.
Absolutely, yeah, we did. We did rehearse an entire show, and now this is the actual show that we're recording.
I thought this was still the rehearsal.
Well, no, this is our second rehearsal.
This
is the second rehearsal. I'm sorry, did I let that one slip, Drew?
I think you did. Good job.
This is the second rehearsal.
Now he's gonna be all freaked out.
After we finish this rehearsal, then we're gonna shoot a whole new show. But the other 2 hours we spent recording shows, that was all rehearsal.
Okay.
So this is still rehearsal.
We're rehearsing right now.
We're still rehearsing.
Yes.
But we're going to step into the Crespo Dome. Hope you guys are ready for this one. I got a whole bunch of stuff.
No, man.
First off, I want to talk about the one movie I did see on DVD. Drew, you watched it too.
Oh, yes, I did.
Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning. The sixth Universal Soldier film.
It was the second bad action movie I watched that day.
After A Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah, but you know what? This one was better than A Good Day to Die Hard.
It was much better. And you know what? Thinking at first, after watching Universal Soldier, I was like, I liked the atmosphere, and I thought the action was awesome.
Well, when he finally snapped into it. Well,
yes,
know.
Yeah. When he starts kung-fuing it up. But even before that, I like really like the atmosphere, how they make it kind of like a horror movie, and it's all kind of droning and, you know, kind of early 80s horror film style. But thinking about the story like more today, I kind of dig what they did with it, because it's Universal Soldier. Where the hell are you going to go with that ridiculous setup and those characters? And I thought they came up with something pretty nifty and interesting.
All
you know?
Apocalypse Now-y.
Yeah, you know, it did end up going there with Van Damme,
dude,
with the crazy makeup.
They went up the river.
That was blatantly offensive to me.
they went up the river to the ruins.
Yes.
Where Jean-Claude Van Damme was all painted face and bald.
Yeah.
It's straight up Apocalypse Now.
With an army of Universal Soldiers,
like I said,
like freed from their governmental bonds.
Like I said, it's straight up Apocalypse Now.
It is a pretty wild movie. It gets really weird. This guy, John Hyams, this director, this young dude, he's only done a couple of movies. He did the last Universal Soldier movie. That was more of a straight up action movie. I haven't seen that one. That one is supposed to be really good, like just a really good action movie, you know, for what it is. This one, he went with a crazy horror route. I want to see what this guy does with a budget, you know, with some money. I want to see what he can do, because the best he could do was get an MMA guy and Scott Adkins to brawl in a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
You know? That's what his budget afforded him.
And he fought Dolph Lundgren, too.
He fought Dolph Lundgren. He had a great fight with Dolph Lundgren. The fight at the end with Van Damme was pretty good.
Yeah.
Van Damme's an older guy, dude. You know, like in Expendables 2, there's a shot of Van Damme doing a spin kick. But he's in the shadows. I think it was somebody else. I think someone else did the spin kick for Van Damme. I know, Johnny, you were hating the movie as it was ongoing. So
I hate talking about it.
You weren't even talking about it. Like,
I
what?
Because I hate it so much. I'm just seething.
Why? Why? Get it out. Let it out.
I just remember a strobe light, and then like
all the strobing.
There was a weird strobe effect.
If you have epilepsy, do not watch that movie.
You'll know when
you
the scene's
will
coming.
Go into an epileptic seizure.
You'll know when to look away.
Of like retrospect, and yeah. you know when
the beginning of the movie was really dragging. It dragged a lot.
Yeah. Well, you guys do know that I don't like that kind of slow pacing.
I know you do.
I guess it was more up my
wasn't
alley
Paul
than
Thomas
you guys.
Anderson's Universal Soldier.
No. No. True. True.
I
understand.
It made me want to read a book.
Oh wow. That is some hatred.
Yes, it is.
Johnny hatred.
No, I actually like reading. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. So, I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I say if you want to check out a weird horror action movie that has Van Damme and Stallone, and if you happen to like the first Universal Soldier,
Stallone.
I'm sorry. Did I say Stallone?
Yes, you did.
Van Damme and Lundgren. I get all my old action guys mixed up now. They're all a bunch of old dudes.
They are
running together. I think it's worth checking out. Drew doesn't know.
Nah.
And obviously, if Johnny.
You can watch the last. What is it, like the last 40 minutes maybe?
When they're trying, when the doctor is digging into his brain pair of forceps. And then he wakes up, he's like, ah.
No. From the...
Johnny Seething.
From the Sporting Goods store scene on.
Sporting Goods scene.
From there on, you could watch.
The car chase scene preceding it, that was like well shot. It was shot well. It was too... This is why I like it.
I kind of wish that there had been a score to it, because there was no music.
It was all droning. It was all electronic droning. I like that for, you know, aesthetic reasons.
Or not.
It wasn't a traditional action score at all. I liked that car chase because it was obviously two, like a van and a truck on a street banging into each other. There's no CG. Again, because they had no money. What if they want to do a car chase and if they want to flip a van
They
had to flip that effing van four times, and they had to shoot it and make sure they got the shot. And they didn't shake the camera and like do a lot of crazy hyper editing. They gave you like a nice, well presented piece of action. You know what I'm saying? It was the antithesis of A Good Day to Die Hard in the way the action was presented in that movie. And for that reason alone, I think it's worth checking out.
Well, you see, I think you're giving it more accreditation than it's due because of how bad A Good Day to Die Hard was.
Just because we're going from one to the other?
Yeah. Huh.
I can't believe you would recommend that movie to anyone.
Well, thank you. That's why Johnny the Hater is here. It's to balance out. You're the one to warn him away. That's why I'm throwing... You know how many caveats I throw here? I'm saying, do you like Universal Soldier? Are you into old action stars? You know, Do you care if a movie
rips off Apocalypse Now?
Right.
Or, you know, do you want to just carry on living your life, you know, without that horrible movie in it?
Yeah. That is an option as well, Johnny.
Right, hey, remember I'm that car with, chase I'm in Cobra with Stallone?
No, I don't remember because the action in Cobra is forgettable, except for at the end when he takes the guy and he puts him on a hook.
Yeah,
in the factory. That part is pretty awesome.
Cool. That was awesome.
But no,
Cobra.
I don't remember the car chase in Cobras. I like watching Cobra because it's fun to watch.
It's a pretty silly movie.
So I'm on an island with Universal Soldier. That's fine. I'll be on my island. Be on my island and I'll watch
You're
the movie.
You're off the island.
No.
I'm on the island for the last 40 minutes and then I'm leaving.
Okay.
And I'm not there for the beginning of the island
That's
either.
That's fine. I'll get to the island first. All right. Have you guys heard about, we all know about Star Wars, right?
Yes.
When Disney and all that garbage.
Uh-huh.
Star Wars Episode 7 in production with J.J. Abrams at the helm. Confirmed Harrison Ford as old Han Solo. Confirmed.
Han Oldo.
Old Hano.
As Han Oldo.
So that's the thing with J.J. Abrams. He's all about mystery and secrecy
you
when
see,
he produces
my thing,
his movies.
Han, you
the last
really
Indiana
old
Jones. The last Indiana Jones movie was god awful.
Right. Oh yeah.
So and I'm not really
but
sure.
But Ford was okay in it.
It looked like he had a stroke a couple months before.
His
face doesn't move.
He's a little grimacy.
Anymore. It doesn't move at all.
He's a little grimacy. He's a little...
I'm not completely sold on all these old action stars keep working.
It's not like he's not going to be the lead. The rumor is that it's going to be all about Han and Leia's kids.
Well, yeah. I mean, that obviously.
They're going to be the heroes of... Oh, Johnny, look at that face. No? not that's... That's the sound his face made.
Exactly.
You know, as far as the crystal skull, that part when he was inside the refrigerator.
Right.
Oscar worthy.
Nuking the fridge is what it's called. That's like the new Jumping the Shark. It's called Nuking the Fridge.
His acting, though.
When he stumbled out of the fridge?
No, when he was inside. Phenomenal.
All right, so not too much enthusiasm here, I guess, for the Han Solo.
Not really sold on that.
How about the young Han Solo movie that they're going to make?
I said, that all depends.
You don't want to see him do
why
the Kessel Run in
this?
12 parsecs to get your money.
Why are they doing
why, you
this
know why?
To me?
Because every Star Trek, every Star Wars prequel made $1 billion worldwide, that's why. That's why they're doing this, because $1 billion worth
of
people will
money.
Show up worldwide to see these
no matter
movies.
What.
Do you remember
even though they're garbage.
What it felt like when you were watching episode one? I remember what it felt
like. Oh, it was soul crushing.
In my stomach, I felt like I was going to... It felt like a girl broke up with me.
I managed to... like,
felt like I got dumped.
I managed to make myself enjoy it.
Yeah, it was soul crushing. Like I had a I had to remind... I was like, you know what? The next one will be... You know what? This was just the next one. Next one will be better.
Remember when he goes, yippee! Remember that part? Remember with the little kid? Little Anakin? He goes, yippee!
During the pod race?
I hate you guys.
I don't know. Before or after it or whatever. It's all a mush in my brain.
So it's terrible.
I keep it down there, like, in the depths of my memories.
Are you a J.J. Abrams fan or hater?
J.J. Abrams...
I don't know. I think he said he didn't want to do the movie, and then he wound up doing it.
Yeah, it's weird. He's doing the Star Trek and the Star Wars. William Shatner is like, what's wrong with this guy? He's being greedy. William Shatner came out in the media and said J.J. Abrams is being greedy.
I mean, they probably threw a lot of money at him.
Oh, a bunch.
I just don't want it to happen anymore because never again. You know, that's my stance on the matter.
But it's happening.
I know.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, so I mean, the jury's out.
You can ignore it.
I liked the Star Trek remake. It was pretty cool.
Well, are you looking forward to Star Trek 2 at all?
Into the Darkness. That trailer is pretty intense. It looks like it's okay for those kind of movies. I was never a Star Trek fan, only Star Wars. I want to make that clear.
I'm with you on that one. The only Star Trek movie I really like is Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
The only Star Trek movies I've seen are Wrath of Khan.
Which
and,
one is that one?
The remake.
Which
I
one
saw
is
the
that?
One.
The
I,
second
I,
one
I've
with
seen.
Ricardo Montalban and Khan. That whole thing.
Yeah. When he does what?
Khan!
Yeah.
One more time?
No.
Oh.
That's a good beer. That's a tasty beer. Tasty beer. That's the one with the... That's one where Spock dies.
No, I know.
End.
I just
Spoiler.
Wanted to hear you
And
go.
Homeboy's got fake pecs.
And I bet you Spock's going to die in this one, I bet you. As an homage to Khan. They're even saying the villain in this one might be Khan.
Really?
The most villainous villain of them all?
Most Star Trek villainous villain of them all. Abrams, Star Trek, Han Solo.
We'll see.
Harrison Ford.
I don't know. After Cowboys and Aliens, Harrison Ford, the lines were bad. I don't know.
I don't think he has it anymore.
Cowboys and Aliens stinks. That movie stinks.
Now, you know what I do when I think of that? I make the Tommy Lee Jones face.
Tommy Lee Jones face from
when I'm not amused.
When was that? The Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones.
He's such a grizzled old man.
He stays in character all the time.
Grizzled old man.
So
character.
He's working on a film, and his character wouldn't have enjoyed that night.
That's true.
So he didn't enjoy that night.
Tommy Jones, it's just
ready to
I
go home.
I salute him for his dedication to his craft. You know, he stood there and he was angry, not amused.
Yeah.
It was amusing. Everyone was there was amused but him.
But him.
Everyone.
He was done with it. He was done with it before it started.
He was not having
not
it.
Even for a moment.
Because he's Tommy Lee Jones. You know what he hates in movies? Eating. He hates like being asked to eat in a scene.
Interesting.
Like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11.
He's the opposite
where he eats
of Brad
in
Pitt.
Every scene.
Brad Pitt eats in every movie. In Moneyball, he's eating in half the scenes in Moneyball.
When he's on speakerphone with an apple.
It's ridiculous.
Or some noodles.
Disney and David Fincher teaming up 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Interesting.
Yeah, they've been working on this project for a little while, and now they reached a point where it's like, well, it's either are we going to go or are we going to stop everything because it was time to start spending money or not, and Disney decided to start spending the money. They're getting the pre-production going. They're building sets in Australia. So this is going to be David Fincher's first big budget movie since Alien 3, since his first movie.
Why are they building sets in Australia? Why not America?
Cheap.
Oh, they don't support American jobs?
They don't support expensive American jobs. Not for what they need. They need huge. You probably also need a lot of land. You know, that's why.
Oh, we don't have land in America, please.
Oh, that's true. There is land. Expensive land. Very, very expensive
not
land.
Really. Have it's, you ever been to Wyoming?
It's prime real estate out there in Wyoming.
Yeah, but it's got to be near the water.
And we need water. We need water. 20,000 leagues under the sea, not 20,000 leagues under Wyoming.
Didn't he shoot the
what's the matter with you?
Didn't he shoot the abyss in like a water tank?
James Cameron?
Oh, James Cameron.
We're talking about David Fincher.
The Mariana Trench.
Mariana Trench. He went down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, and he got
alone.
There.
Alone.
Well, alone. Got there with a camera and nothing. It was like,
yep,
the most boring thing ever.
He made it, though.
Yeah, he made it, and that was cool, but then, like...
It's pretty badass.
And then he's like, oh, look, here's some... Here's
a
some
rock.
Here's some sand. No.
No rocks.
No rocks. Nothing. Like, here's sand. Here's some more sand. And, okay, we're going up. Going back up to the surface.
All right.
It was more exciting when he had to go back up to the surface, and then he dropped some weights. To get down there, they had to weight his little ship thing, mm-hmm. and he got down all the way to the bottom of the trench. And then to get up, he had to, like, let go to weights, like anti-ballast, like for hot air balloons. And he started going back up. So now, at the bottom of the Mariana's Trench somewhere, there are some of these weights.
Just sitting down there.
So now there's something down there to be found. In like hundreds of years, someone's going to go down there.
Where are these weights?
Where do these weights come from? Like that's going to be like the next Stonehenge, like in 1,000 years.
I heard
years.
There's like a VHS copy of Avatar in them.
In the weights? like
it
a
had
time,
to be VHS because
like a time
DVDs
capsule?
Couldn't withstand the pressure.
Well, there have to be a VHS and a VCR in there because it needs a player as well.
Yes.
No, that's the whole thing. It's just a piece of paper that talks about how a VCR is made or something.
Oh, it's instructions for
a
how
VCR
to make it.
Couldn't survive the depth.
But the VHS can.
Yeah, a single tape.
Yeah, little known fact. That's what Johnny Hayes.
It's wrapped
for.
In the liquid that what's his name breathes in the abyss.
Oh yeah, that weird ghosty like thick alien liquid.
Yeah, what's his name? Virgil?
They stick the rat in there or
what's
whatever?
His name in the abyss?
Who, Ed Harris or
yeah,
the rat?
Ed Harris.
I don't remember his name.
I think it's Virgil.
Is it Virgil?
Yeah, she's like, come on, Virgil, damn it.
Drew's
the computer guy.
Yeah, computer guy. Look up Ed Harris's character name in the abyss. Make yourself a little useful there. You're talking about, you know, they really did do that when they dropped that rat in that... In that liquid, and it like
they
it,
drowned a rat.
No, because it breathed in the liquid, remember, and then it started breathing again.
What
the stuff that Ed Harris?
I thought
character.
That was all CGI.
No, man, no, was
it
real.
Wasn't.
That was real.
I don't like that.
I don't know.
I don't support.
I don't know.
That
Peter,
in film.
I don't know. If Peter was on set for that one. It might not have been. But
didn't like. 28 horses died during War Horse.
Yes, you are correct, Johnny. Ed Harris's name was Virgil.
Good job.
Virgil Bud Brigham.
Bud.
Oh, Brigman. Bud.
Bud.
Everyone calls him Bud, except for his wife, you know, Mrs. Brigman.
Gina
She's
Davis?
Like, Virgil. Huh?
Gina Davis?
No, it's not Gina Davis. It's
true.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Mastrantonio.
She's the maid Marian in Robin Hood.
Yeah, she is.
Do you want to sing some of that song from that movie?
No.
The Bryan Adams song?
Yeah.
Is that not...
How does it go?
How does it go?
I can't think of it.
I'm not going to start.
True?
I started thinking of the Meatloaf
song. Not
going to
happen.
I would do anything for love.
Not that song.
Well, that'll do. That'll do.
But I won't do that. All
right. That's good.
No, what's the Bryan Adams song, though?
Who cares now?
It's also about, no, it's about love or no. Oh.
Now that we have Meatloaf, nothing else matters.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty good, though. Good job. All right. Well, also, you know, for the Crespo Dome, people give us some questions, topics, things they want us to talk about. I got a few things here that we can run through on Twitter at Junk Culture Inc. Ask if we've seen Primer on Netflix. Have you guys seen Primer on Netflix?
I've seen Primer on DVD.
But not on Netflix.
Not on Netflix.
So that's a no.
Wasn't Primer one of your Netflix movies of the week or whatever?
Quite recently, yes it was. Yes, it was. One of my Netflix picks
of the week. So what is this person talking about?
He just wants to know. Maybe
he wants to know. Yeah,
of course they know you talked about it.
Well, now he knows.
Tell him to download the previous episode.
What you can do at chriscrespo.com, chriscrespo.com, home of the Netflix instant pick of the week. Yes, I've seen Primer on a Netflix and on a DVD. Johnny, have you seen Primer on Netflix?
I saw Primer on a plane.
On a plane?
Yeah.
But not on Netflix.
No.
So that's a no. So two no's and a yes. There you go. And yes, it was a Netflix instant pick of the week. So there you go. Next question was, all right, someone asked about the Sound City trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched this trailer for this movie, Sound City, before the show. It looks like it's a documentary about a studio, Sound City Studios.
Yep.
While legendary albums were recorded there. A
whole bunch.
Analog. And it ends up being a movie about analog versus digital. And
it looked cool. Dave Grohl, some rock and roll people in it.
Directed by Dave Grohl.
It looked pretty comprehensive.
It does.
They did a lot of interviews.
And the trailer's a little spoilery, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
A little spoilery trailer.
I feel like I've seen the film.
Right.
You know?
I think I get the point.
Pretty good.
I get the point. The question related to that trailer, what audience does this movie appeal to? Like, what do you
male
think?
18 to 38.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Anybody
who likes rock and roll.
Anyone likes
or,
music.
What was that? What was that other rock and roll documentary?
It Might Get Loud.
Yes. Anybody who saw that will probably go see this movie as well.
Anyone who's into rock documentaries.
Yeah.
Documentaries don't make a lot of money in theaters.
Fans of hip hop?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Rick Rubin fans.
Oh, I just wanted to apologize for that, for condemning that other person's question.
I don't want to make enemies.
But Johnny, you're the hater.
You're Johnny the hater.
By all means, tweet your ridiculous questions. Please, you know, more the better.
At JHigh87, he has a couple questions because he asked one last week. And I missed it, so we're gonna get to both of them. At JHigh87 is asking, first off, the last movie is to make you cry.
Never cried in a movie.
You've seriously never cried
seriously,
in a movie.
Seriously, never cried in a movie.
Not once
nope.
ever.
Nope. Never.
Seriously?
Seriously.
It's cool, man. You can admit
no,
if you cried.
I know, I get it. I understand.
We will count.
I cried in the Ninja Turtles when they ran out of pizza.
I know, it's a really bad part. It's a terrible scene.
I was like, there's no more pizza.
It's heartbreaking.
We'll even take tears of laughter.
Nope, no tears of laughter either. I've never laughed so hard that I've cried in a movie either.
Oh man,
I've never been moved to that emotional extreme by a moving picture before.
Wow. Drew, Johnny.
Do you have feelings?
Yes.
I've seen feelings come out of him sometimes.
Do you feel feelings?
Yes, I feel feelings.
Outside of like cutting himself, yeah, he feels feelings.
Before you said you saw Dead Poets Society.
Yes, I have.
You didn't cry at the end of that?
Even when you were a kid, when you were young, really, really young.
Uh-uh.
Really,
didn't
really,
you
really,
see
really
Bambi?
No.
Have you ever seen Bambi?
Yes.
Do you know what happens in Bambi?
Yes, the mother dies and turns into a delicious venison roast.
God. Why you gotta say it like that?
Johnny.
What?
Movies that made you cry. outside of when they ran out of pizza.
In Armageddon, when Bruce Willis traps Ben Affleck in the tube, and he's like, "I love you, man." And he's like, "You're my dad." I was like, "Oh God, okay. Dad."
That part didn't make me cry, but at the end, when Steve Buscemi, he touched back, he comes back to Earth, and in slow motion, like the hooker comes out of the, and I was like, oh, that made me well up a little bit. I was like, oh, that's sad. So we, Armageddon got us both.
That was sad.
Anything else?
In Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, really?
I got the Richard Parker choked up. Where
a little misty eyed.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for Life of Pi. Go for it.
When they're on the boat.
Spoiler over.
That part was intense.
I'm just kidding.
When the tiger doesn't look back, I was like, oh man.
It was just a tiger.
I was like, but I get it. But it was just like,
it is.
I don't know. Maybe it was just really cold in the theater and my eyes got watery.
That happens sometimes too. I understand that. I don't know why, but I don't know. I get teary eyed a bunch for whatever reason. It just happens, you know. I'm not gonna deny it.
Yeah.
You know, it happens a lot. If I get laughing a lot, you know, it just, the eyes just get watery. Mm-hmm. It just happens, you know.
So what are some of these movies, Chris?
But you know the funniest one that I like to point out, the weepy side. I did legitimately cry at the end of Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Awesome.
I
know now why you cry. Yeah. When he goes into the molten, yep, and he gives that thumbs up. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Misty eyed. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Like,
I order you to stay. I order you to stay.
He's like, no, I must. I know now why you cry. Yeah. That definitely got me. Recently, though, honestly, I mean, if I could think of something that really did make me like that, really did touch me, get me, but I can't.
You know what?
I would love to call myself out on something, but I can't right now.
You know what Arnold movie made me cry?
Which?
Junior.
When he has the baby?
Yeah, when he has the baby. I'm just thinking about it right now. When he has the baby. Or in Jingle All the Way, where he's like, "That's my cookie! Put that cookie down!" I was like, no, because I wouldn't want someone to steal my cookie.
Well, what about, I cried when they arrested Sinbad. I was like, he just wanted a toy for his son.
Yeah man.
Who he probably neglects all year long.
Oh, when he's granting wishes or whatever.
Yeah. What a weird movie. All right. Well, at JHigh87 had another question.
Wait.
What?
You didn't say like a recent movie you cried.
I can't think of a recent one.
I wanted to cry when you guys were watching like Universal Soldier. Let me I think I did a little bit.
But I think those were tears of shame for us.
Let me see. I'm looking back through some movies I've seen recently.
Didn't you cry?
You know, Life of Pi, same like Richard Parker, that made me a little misty-eyed.
Didn't you cry in Zero Dark Thirty?
No.
When he's like,
I didn't.
He's like,
Osama.
He's like, Osama.
Osama. And then he pokes his head out and then he gets shot.
He's like, Khalid. No. The part where he's like, listen, bro, I'm bad news. He's like, when you lie to me, I hurt you. I was like, oh God, I don't want to be in the box.
That made me. Yeah, the box. Cloud Atlas.
No.
I think I remember. Oh, yeah. We established already. You're feeling this. We get it. Cloud Atlas made me a little teary.
Did you watch? You like Cloud Atlas, Drew?
I loved it. It was my second most favorite movie of last year.
What's the first most?
Django.
Django.
I guess.
Django.
Whatever.
I had the same number two. What was your favorite movie of last year, Johnny the Hater?
Twilight 2, Breaking Dawn 2.
Okay. Fair enough. JHigh87 also asked, Lake Placid, so bad it's good, or just bad?
So bad it's good.
Yeah, I find it very entertaining. Any movie that's entertaining, even if it's bad, if it's entertaining, then it's good, you know?
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt's awesome. Yeah, Betty White feeds a cow to a giant crocodile. Then at the end, spoiler, there's a bigger one. Come on. You know, they upped the movie monster ante within the same film. They're like, we're not waiting for the sequel.
No, this is just a bigger one.
Isn't there like one catch line in the movie that's like really like?
Yeah, Oliver Platt, when he's fishing for the croc, and he says, "Croc to meet you."
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's the line. When it pops out of the water, he goes,
"That's not what he says."
He has a shotgun and goes, "Croc to meet you." And he
I thought he says, "We're gonna need a bigger boat."
We're gonna need a bigger. I think that's
Jaws.
I think it's enjoyable. Drew?
Nah, I don't know about that.
No, you're not.
I mean, the whole Betty White thing, that's the one redeeming quality, I think.
Oh, and we're talking about 15, 20 seconds of film.
Wait a second. You didn't cry in Silver Linings Playbook when the Eagles lost?
No, not at all. I didn't. I didn't cry at all.
And then he's like, no, I'm doubling down, double or nothing. I'm like, no, stop. No more double or nothing.
And I'm fine with crying in movies because, yeah, it touches me, you know. And I got a lot of emotions bubbling under this docile surface, you know. And it's easy. They're easy to be accessed with the right movie, but no. Like Amazing Spider-Man, no. I'm looking through all these old movies. Man with the Iron Fist, no tears.
I cried during Man with the Iron Fist. I'm like, why did they give RZA this money? I'm like, every time I saw RZA's stupid mug, I was like, why is this guy in this movie?
Because it's his movie. That's why he's in it.
I hate exactly. Jungle Village, yo. Yo, when I'm in Jungle Village, yo, I'm making movies, yo.
I like that movie.
You know what? I liked it too, except for what the worst narration ever. Seriously,
the end of Watch got me a little bit, you know, because it's a heavy movie.
He's like, "Follow me in the house, bro.
Follow me in the house, bro.
Follow me in the house, man. Follow me in the house, bro.
Follow me in the house, bro.
Do you trust me?"
But at the end, you know, people are dying at the end. It's like, oh, that's kind of heavy and it's brutal, and there's like,
is it though?
There's babies left behind, you know, and you got to know the characters.
Did you though?
I did. I like that movie.
You know when I cried during Prometheus from beginning to end?
Because you didn't like it.
I was like, Prometheus? Why Prometheus? Just like that.
Actually, that kind of segues into a question from @MattCellery, who asked about favorite bad movies. So movies that are bad, we know they're bad, but still we like them anyway, you know? I can go first on this one. I have a real soft spot for the first three Ernest movies.
Oh, man.
Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Saves Christmas, and Ernest Goes to Jail. I love those three movies. I mean, unabashedly, I love them.
You don't like when he's scared stupid, though?
That's the beginning of the end. Talking about trajectories. What was the other trajectory? Well, the Will Ferrell trajectory. The Ernest trajectory starts with scared stupid. That's where it starts going down. And it goes down quickly. Really quick. Like, holy cow. Even objectively speaking, like, not even as like from a nostalgia point of view, just watching the movies in terms of the money spent in making them and like the effort put into the stories, holy cow, they just stopped caring.
What about the one where Vern gets hit by a bus and then, but he lives?
Oh, Sweet Hereafter.
And Ernest has to take him through his physical rehab.
Ernest goes to Sweet Hereafter.
They're like doing exercises in the pool.
He hits the bus with the children and the children die in it.
That was a good one.
That was all right. Yeah.
He's like, Verno.
Any like 80s bad 80s action movie? Not any, actually, no, not anyone. But
that's a pretty broad statement.
That's a very broad brush. I'm not like
all of them.
You can keep all the Lorenzo Lamas and Brian Bosworth movies.
Stone Cold.
Van Damme movies, Bloodsport, objectively speaking, is a horrible film. When they made that movie, they made it in 1984 and it sat on a shelf for 2 years while they edited and re-edited and tried to make it into something releasable. Like, this is a piece of shit. And they put it out finally in 86. And oh man, it's one of my most favorite movies of all time. It is. I love
so Sport. Ridiculous.
I don't really care for it.
Oh, you just don't care for it? You don't actively hate it?
One might say I might hate it.
Kickboxer, another bad movie, speaking of Van Damme. That it's bad, but I love it. I love it.
Is that where he throws the dust in his eyes?
No, that's Bloodsport. No, Kickboxer is the one where they end up having the fight with the glass in their hands.
Yes.
Against Tong Po.
Is that the one where Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds is his friend?
No, that's Bloodsport.
Maybe I don't hate Bloodsport.
A lot of people don't like Seagal movies. Bloodsport's awesome. A lot of people don't like Seagal movies, but
you love Steven Seagal.
Love Steven Seagal.
Under Siege.
Under Siege. Well, Under Siege is great, but the first four Seagal movies, Marked for Death, Above the Law, Hard to Kill. No, not Hard to Kill. That's Van Damme. Out for Justice. That's that one. And what's the other one?
What about the one where
Glimmerman?
Which one?
Glimmerman. The Glimmerman.
Glimmerman. Because all you see is a glimmer. And then you're dead.
Oh, God.
What about
so
the one
bad.
Where...
If you die, how do you tell anyone that you saw a glimmer? What?
What about the one where he's the sheriff and he's like, hey, I'm the sheriff, Steven Seagal.
The Lawman, the TV show?
Yeah.
I love that show. On that show, he's showing a guy how to shoot a gun, and he sets up matches, and he's like, we're going to light a match with a bullet.
Nice.
And then he shoots, and they have a camera set up so you can like see the match like slow-mo, and he shoots. He's trying to light the match, and he misses, and he shoots the head off the match. That's super accurate. And he's like, oh, and then he's like talking about the weather and that weird accent he has.
He wears those shooting glasses like all the time.
Yeah.
Like all day long.
And at night.
Gets out of bed and puts them on.
And he puts them on immediately.
He's like, all right, I'm going to bed. Turn out the light, takes off his shooting glasses.
I love that. I love that fat idiot. I do. What about you guys? Favorite bad movies? Come on. Come on. You guys got to have something along those lines, maybe. Something you watched when you were younger. You know,
I'm caught a little off guard here. I can't think of one.
Well, that's the Crespo Dome, man. You know, it's all about getting caught off guard.
I guess maybe I would say Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome might fall into that category.
That's definitely the lesser of all the Mad Max movies.
No, it's my favorite.
Is it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Master Blaster.
Yeah.
And she's like, Raggedy Man. I love that part.
Master Blaster's fan.
Who runs Bartertown?
Master Blaster.
Who runs Bartertown?
Oh, man.
Drew, come on.
I'm kind of a sucker for the first Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty bad movie. But it's fun, though. It's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch only because
Johnny hates it. No, Johnny, give me a face.
I mean, he cauterizes his own wounds in the sewer with his fucking Bowie knife.
That's a very Punisher thing to do.
Yes, it is.
Very Punisher-ish. Very Frank Castle-ish. But then they had to, like, charcoal his face up to make it look like he had he had dark facial hair.
Yeah, and he did not.
And then giant Swede with black dyed.
Hair. Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
It looks weird. It's a weird look.
It's a bad movie.
He is giant.
All right, so there you go. Matt Celery. And, okay. And then I got a question from, since we've been fielding questions, this one guy, Billy. Good old
Billy. Oh, Billy D.
He's been all about giving us the questions. So here we go. This is the final question of the show, guys. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to wrap it up. Hey, guys. In celebration of Johnny the Hater being a special guest, let's bathe in some hate.
All right.
What was the movie you didn't expect to hate last year? And what is the movie you are afraid of hating this year? Hate always, Billy D. So first part of the question, what was the movie you didn't expect to hate last year? I don't know about, I didn't hate it, but I didn't expect so many people to hate Prometheus. Because we were talking about Prometheus earlier. A lot of
here we go, Johnny.
I hated Prometheus so much.
And Johnny, and you, did not you didn't expect to hate it.
No, I tried not to get excited, but I really did. I it was like the one movie that I thought would come through.
Yeah.
I was really excited. I even went down to the IMAX, the true IMAX.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Wow.
I got there early. I waited in line. Sat through Prometheus. And you know what sucks the most about Prometheus? There's many things that suck about Prometheus, but the girl with the dragon tattoo, she was excellent. She was so good.
Oh, the original girl? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Naomi and...
Noomi?
Noomi or whatever. Michael Fassbender, he was really great, and it could have been great, but they had the writer from Lost who likes to, like... He's like, oh, I don't know how to, like, wrap things up, so I just won't because ambiguity is cool, you know?
Yeah.
But guess what? You get paid to, like, tell a story. Just because you, like, leave holes out of it doesn't make you, like, cool or artistic. It just sucks.
All right.
Can you think of a movie?
Stupid Prometheus.
Can you think of a movie that you hated? That you're like, I didn't think I was going to hate that.
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't. I still have to rewatch, I guess, The Hobbit, because I thought I would have enjoyed that movie a lot more than I did. But
it was so distracting.
But no, yeah, the high frame rate was so distracting that I couldn't even watch the movie.
48 frames of Hobbit.
Because it was so weird.
That was. You know what? Yeah, that's the one that I went into The Hobbit thinking maybe I'd just be bored by it.
Yeah.
I did kind of hate it. I was like, this is really not a boring, expensive movie.
Yeah.
You know, with one 10-minute scene of Gollum, that was like, this is cool.
You know what part was good, though?
What?
The part where they were walking.
That's the whole movie, dude.
When they were walking to that place.
It's the whole movie.
When they walk from place to place.
That part was good.
I mean, some of the action scenes weren't bad. I didn't mind when they fought the wolves and the giant eagles came in. That was pretty cool.
And then afterwards, they walked a little bit.
Every time that Gandalf was in the scene was great. But other than that, I mean, it was pretty god-awful.
I was pretty miserable watching it. No. I was like, I should be liking this. I love the Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. And I love The Hobbit. The book, I mean, the book is amazing.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
But for some reason.
There's a book?
For some reason.
I got something to show you, buddy.
It does not translate as well as the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Weird.
Yeah.
Same people.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So weird. Second part of the question, what is the movie you are afraid of hating this year? So what is the movie that you pretty much, you're looking forward to, but there's a chance that...
The entire Star Wars franchise from now on.
Oh, yeah, talking about Star Wars.
That's not this year, though, is it?
No, 2015.
Thank goodness. Anything that comes from that.
Maybe the
I'm
world
so
will
afraid
be over.
To watch.
I'm hoping Iron Man 3 is good, but like Iron Man 2, I wanted that to be good, and it stunk.
It wasn't.
And Iron Man 3 is a Shane Black joint. I want Shane Black to make an awesome
movie. Sir Ben's awesome.
It's the Mandarin with a crazy voice.
I love Sir Ben.
Same along the same lines, Man of Steel. I want that to be good, but it's Zack Snyder, so you don't know. It could be.
It could be
a hunk.
Exactly.
Kevin Costner, though,
as Pa Kent.
I love him.
He's great.
Yeah.
He is great. He was almost in Django Unchained, but scheduling conflict.
Did you ever see that movie?
That would have been good.
Yeah. In the Don Johnson role.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie where he's like, if you build it, they will come?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Waterworld. Yeah, they're like, if you build a giant tank of water and film a movie in it, people will come see a movie
and
that you shoot it there, and no one did.
No. The one where he builds the baseball field.
Oh, Bull Durham, and that's a Susan Sarandon taking off of his hip, and then,
yeah.
It's like, if you build a Susan Sarandon robot, people will come see this movie, and they did. They went and saw it.
Yeah. No. Not the one where he's the baseball pitcher.
Okay.
Wait, Tin Cup? Are you talking about Tin Cup with Cheech Marin?
Cheech Marin and Rene Russo. If you build Rene Russo bot.
No. The one where he's in the cornfields.
Cornfields.
Ray Liotta.
The postman. Right?
I don't think Ray Liotta is in the postman.
Postman, right? It's post-apocalyptic.
Which one are we talking about here? Wait.
No, not the postman. The one where he's like, you know, he's with Darth Vader, and then watching a baseball game and eating hot dogs, and he's like, "Hey, man."
Avatar, right? It was an Avatar,
now
right?
You're just being ridiculous.
Kevin Costner was an Avatar, right?
Was not an Avatar.
But Avatar was just dancing with blue aliens.
Drew loses.
No,
dances with wolves.
You know the one I'm talking about, where he's like an Elvis, and
dance
he goes
with wolves
to Las Vegas.
3,000 miles to Graceland.
3,000 miles to Graceland.
They have a lot of guns.
Silverado.
And he's No, you know the one.
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Open Range. Or Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie.
Uh-huh.
Great movie.
The one where he meets the Indians and they like help him out, you know.
And then the guy from Tool, he did all the buffalo animatronics.
And there's dancing.
Avatar.
The one where they're like, listen, no more dancing.
Now we're talking about Kevin Bacon, right?
Yeah, that's Kevin Bacon movie.
Six series of Kevin Bacon. What about Field of Dreams? What about it?
I never seen Field of Dreams.
All right. Well, good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Is that the one where where Christian Slater plays Little John.
Yes. It is.
Oh, and Robin like, Hood Field
with
of Dreams.
With a spoon.
Robin Hood Field of Dreams.
Because and it'll hurt more.
And Dave Chappelle plays a chew, father of a sneeze.
And
son of a sneeze.
Hans yes. Gruber's in it.
Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber is totally the sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Did you ever answer a question?
Wink and blink and a nod.
You still haven't answered a question.
What question?
About what movie are you afraid of hating this year?
I don't know what movies are coming out this year.
Fair enough, Drew. And then
I'm scared to know.
Well, there's a lot of Iron Man and Man.
Those are summer blockbusters.
Summer blockbuster stuff.
I know a movie that's coming out that I definitely won't see.
Oh, Wolverine! Afraid the new Wolverine movie is gonna.
Oh,
be bad.
That's a good one. Yeah, the Wolverine.
I
really want it to be good. It needs to be good, or I'm gonna be so angry.
I wanted it to be. Darren Aronofsky is good.
Well, oh, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Why?
I do want to see that, though.
I want Pacific Rim to be good. I hope that doesn't suck.
Oh, yeah, giant monsters and giant robots.
It's going to suck.
You think it's going to suck?
Yeah, it looks like a big steamer. It's not like a new idea or anything, is it?
No, not at all. It's just
sort
it's,
of like
it's an old
it's
idea,
actually,
but
it's
done
an old
huge.
Japanese cartoon
it's,
idea.
It's really CGI.
The whole movie is CGI.
It's robot jocks versus Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah, didn't Hugh Jackman make a movie like that? Where like he's there,
the
little boy,
Wolverine,
Real Steel.
Yeah.
The robot fighting scenes in Real Steel are worth the price of admission. They are awesome. That movie was surprisingly halfway decent.
Uplifting.
Oh no, it was like saccharine to the point of nausea. But the fighting stuff, like all the robot stuff, really good. Really, really good.
I like those redemption stories.
Oh, well, then there you go. Real Steel. You should check it out, buddy.
Did you see Les Mis?
I did. No robot fighting in Les Mis.
No. Although there totally should be.
That.
Steampunk robots?
Steampunk Les Mis robots fighting French Revolution. That would be awesome.
All right.
That would be awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap this up, guys. This is the end. This is the end of the Crestwood. Let's do some plugs. Get some plugs out there. ChrisCrestwood.com. I already got a couple people signing up for the first ever fantasy baseball league. Baseball Crestwood Deso. If you want to sign up, hit us up. You got cinemacrestwooddeso@gmail.com. Twitter at CrestwoodDeso. Facebook. Drew, what's your Twitter?
At antihero419.
People tweet at antihero419. Get Drew into Twitter. Johnny, you got anything to plug or any shout outs or
just my main man, 555.
Oh yeah, shout outs to 555. Yeah.
And Drewster Cogburn.
Drewster Cogburn, good guy.
Hell yeah.
That's
555's mom, what up?
You don't wanna plug any sort of social media thing or
don't look at my Facebook.
All right,
I like my privacy.
Well, there's no Johnny.
I'm like
the hater.
Jodie Foster.
There's no Johnny the Hater Facebook.
I'm like Jodie Foster. I'm going to tell you something right now, okay?
Oh, okay, what do you got?
Here it is.
What do you got?
All right, sometimes you got to tell people something, and sometimes there's a time to tell the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm here now.
Right.
So you might have thought that maybe I thought that maybe now would be a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought it would be a good time. So I just wanted to say I want my privacy.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Appreciate it very much. We're on iTunes. If you got to subscribe, please subscribe on iTunes. Rate us, review, leave a review. Rate us 5 stars. ChrisCrespo.com. Did I mention that already? ChrisCrespo.com.
What is it again?
ChrisCrespo.com.
One more time.
ChrisCrespo.com.
Where can they tweet you?
ChrisCrespo.com. Oh, you can tweet me at CrespoDiso.
Where can they tweet? Drewster Cogburn.
At antihero419.
Where can they send the nudes?
cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go. So thanks for listening, guys. That was episode 6. We'll be back. We'll be back soon. Episode 7 before you know it. So enjoy this one. Tell all your friends. Tell your family. Share it with grandma. And that's it. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.